I'm Tomasz Tarczyński. I work at Gigaset and I want to talk today about configuration management landscape for Kubernetes. So the plan for this talk is like this. We'll start with introducing configuration management as a topic. Then we'll jump into Kubernetes and see what it changes for us. Then a very brief introduction to a declarative approach to application management. And the last part will be the tools landscape itself. So there is this quote: of all the problems we have confronted, the ones over which the most brain power, ink and code have been spilled are related to managing configurations. This quote is from the great paper titled Borg, Omega and Kubernetes. So it's written by engineers at Google and they summarized their 2 decades of experience managing complex distributed systems and building cluster orchestrators. So they perceive the configuration management as a very difficult problem, something that they've tried few dozens of different tools, different solutions already, and they still don't consider this to be a solved problem. So something that still needs to be worked on. But to start with, what do I understand by configuration management? For me, it's mainly about infrastructure as code. So I would like to have some kind of code to define all the desired state of my systems, of my environments. I would like to store this code in version control. So I would like to use Git as a single source of truth about the whole system. And some typical tools in this area are things like Puppet, Chef, or Ansible. Let's look only briefly into history of this space. So the first tool for config management was CF Engine, introduced by in 1993 by Mark Burgess. And then later on tools like Puppet, Chef, and Ansible. So we can see here that it is already almost 3 decades of work put into the area of systems configuration management and probably a lot of wisdom that new generations of tools can build upon. To me, my favorite tool of choice is Puppet. So I will introduce just a few main characteristics that are most important to me. So first, Puppet provides me with a declarative way of describing configuration, describing the desired state of my systems. It gives me methods of resources automation. So let's say I need to add a new user to a system. So there is a Puppet provider for that that will automate this operation for me. Then Puppet comes with a domain-specific language, a DSL. So it's a very simple and constrained language that would be targeted strictly into defining configuration and would be limited in possibilities to make it easy to use, straightforward. It gives me a templating mechanism. So there are those embedded Ruby templates that I can use to basically template my config files. Then I can put the code automating something into modules. So those are meant to package my configuration and then to share it with others. I can use a private module repository or share those modules publicly in PuppetForge, in a public repository with other teams, other organizations. And there is this concept of code data separation. So as I put code into modules and can share and reuse those, I also need some parameters to tell the module what exactly should it do. And Puppet has a hierarchical parameter database for it called Hiera. So that was a very brief introduction to config management, and now let's look into Kubernetes and what it changes. So to me, the most important thing about Kubernetes is that it provides me with a declarative API that lets me declare the desired state of the whole system. And then there is this control plane that constantly makes sure that the actual state of the system always converges to the desired state. How do we declare what we would like to see in the system, this desired state? So we use YAML for that, of course, with Kubernetes. And here is just a very simple example of the simplest possible application on Kubernetes. So I want to have Nginx deployed, to have two replicas of it, and to expose it via network to the world. So as you can see, to achieve the simplest thing, I already need something like 30 lines of YAML. And actually, a real-life scenario would mean I need above 100 lines of YAML to define a simple application following all the best practices, defining all needed parameters. So seems like quite a lot of YAML. Actually, I've tried counting how much YAML is there. So I've taken one of the real environments that the team at Gigaset manages and counted how much YAML do we have. So there are over 50 resource types, the standard core Kubernetes types. Then we've added another 50 custom resource definitions, custom types added to the cluster by us. We are defining some Kubernetes API objects. So in this small cluster, we've defined almost 800 of those, and those are only the user-provided objects. But then inside the system, there are much more. So system generates objects for its internal purposes, and those are above 5,000 in this case. And then how many lines of YAML do we have? So user-provided YAML is over 100,000 in this one case. And all total amount of YAML, so with those internal Kubernetes objects, is already 500,000. And actually, that's only one cluster. And typically, you would have several of those, most probably. So as we can see, we can easily say that working with Kubernetes means managing millions of lines of YAML. So it's really, really a lot to manage. There was this great talk by Bob Walker at Config Management Camp titled, "Are we all YAML engineers now?" So Bob described Kubernetes as basically a system for YAML generating YAML. So yeah, that's just about what you've seen in my example. And of course, the answer to this question is yes, we are YAML engineers now, in fact. Okay, so let's now jump into the declarative application management and let's see what it means. I would base a few points here on the article by Brian Grant, the article titled "Declarative Application Management in Kubernetes." So it is, again, based on this long experience at Google, and Brian is one of the authors of Kubernetes. So, yeah, and he proposes some of the best practices that he would see for managing configuration. The central idea that he proposes is to actually not use just a single tool for managing configuration, but rather a toolset of composable tools. It means you would have a few of those tools that would manipulate configuration data. You would probably pipe them together, so result from one tool would go to another. And he's in favor of using the declarative data model. So the data should be passed from one tool to another. And actually, he's also opposed this idea of treating configuration as code. So he says that we should not build sophisticated software systems to manage configuration, but rather we should treat configuration as data. So to automate something, we can put the automation code into those controllers running in the cluster. So there are those control loops that would ensure that the resource actual state will converge to the desired state, and it should be inside the cluster. And then our config data would go into this Kubernetes API using the native API format. So if we take a step back to what were the characteristics of Puppet and compare what we have in Kubernetes, to me it looks like I wanted to have a declarative way for configuring things. In Kubernetes, I've got the declarative Kubernetes API. Then I needed resources automation. So there are those Kubernetes controllers with control loops, and they basically do that. Then I wanted code data separation. Actually, in Kubernetes, it's just like the data goes to the API, and then code would be in the controllers. And then we've got those three areas of the DSL templates and modules that are not covered by Kubernetes itself. So probably we would still need something here, and it's just what I will talk about in the next part. So now we are ready to jump into the tools landscape itself. To start with, there is this huge spreadsheet prepared again by Brian Grant. So he listed all of the available config management tools for Kubernetes. And what we can see, there are currently above 120 of those. So it's a huge space. Actually, the list is constantly growing as this area is evolving all the time. So just by this picture, we can guess that it is really not a solved problem yet. There is still a lot of work going on in this area. Only to give some idea how can we approach configuration. So the simplest possible approach would be to fork. So I would have original config, I will copy it and make some changes to it. It's for sure not scaling well, but it's the simplest. Then the overlay approach, it means having original config, I would provide just a patch. So some small change that should be done to it to get the resulting config. Another option is parameterization. So it's like I would like to use some kind of template and then parameterize some of the characteristics of my config and providing parameters to get the config I need. Generation is a bit different approach. So I would use some program, some code to generate this configuration data. And then the two options that we have choosing what language to use, we can either have domain-specific language, something constrained to config management purposes only, or we can use general purpose language, something like maybe Python, maybe TypeScript. So we'll see in the list of tools how those ideas are used by different tools. Okay, so as there are, as you've seen, a lot of those tools, I've chosen only a dozen of them that are most popular or most promising. So first three are the most widely tools most popular. I'm showing here also the number of GitHub stars, so it could be some gauge of popularity to give some idea. First is JSONnet. So it's the oldest of those from 2014, originated at Google, and it's basically a data templating language, so a DSL. Main purpose of it is to generate JSON. The focus of this language is to have something really, really hermetic, side effect free. It means the program written in JSONnet should always result in the very same output, and it doesn't matter what's in environment of the program. And also, this language is a superset of JSON, so you use syntax very similar to JSON, so it's quite easy to get started with, actually. The next one, and the most popular among Kubernetes users, is Helm. So Helm approach is to basically template YAML using Go template. What's interesting here, it treats YAML just as a text file, so it's not aware of YAML syntax or syntax of Kubernetes objects and doesn't do checking for you. It lets you package your configuration into charts, so you can later on share those charts with others, either publicly in public repositories, or you can share those privately inside your organizations. And one more thing is Helm lets you manage the releases of your config inside the Kubernetes cluster. So it will connect to the cluster and manage the state of the release for you. Next one, the third of most popular, is Customize. It's a different approach compared to the previous two options, so it's template free. It doesn't use any kind of DSL. Actually, you work only with plain YAML. It lets you basically to customize Kubernetes objects. So it's this overlay approach. You would provide only a simple YAML patch to the original config, and it will compile a resulting config for you. What's also interesting here, it's now built into kubectl. So if you use Kubernetes, you already have it available. And now the second category of tools, those are the GitOps tools. There are two popular tools in this area, Fluxcd and ArgoCD, with similar popularity. And let's see what they do. So basically, the idea here is to have something that would let you put all those YAMLs into Git and then synchronize this state defined in Git into the cluster state. So there would be an operator running in the cluster, constantly making sure that the desired state that you describe in Git would be reflected in the cluster in the actual state. Those tools, they integrate well with different tools in this area, so both can be used with Helm and with Customize. ArgoCD also supports JSONNet. And actually, using the GitOps approach, you can integrate with whatever tool you want, because you only need to put YAMLs into Git, and then the GitOps tool would catch up from there and manage the cluster for you. So pretty much would work with any tool that generates YAML. Now the third category. So here we've got three different tools that use some languages to generate config and then manage this config for you. First is Capitan. It's quite an interesting idea because it's based on templating engines and lets you choose from a few of those. You can use JSONNet, Jinja, Helm, or Kadet. Then it provides you with an inventory solution. So it gives you a YAML-based hierarchical inventory for defining parameters for those templates. Actually, it's an approach very similar to Hiera, known from Puppet. So you've got a hierarchy in YAML of parameters, and then it's used by templates. And when you compile templates with inventory, it would result with your YAML manifest that will be written back into Git. And then you will use some GitOps tool to synchronize the cluster. Another tool here is Tanka. It's done by Grafana Labs, a tool strictly powered by JSONNet. It provides you with a JSONNet Kubernetes library prepared especially for defining Kubernetes resources. It was made as a replacement for KSONET, which was a popular JSONet-based tool for configuring Kubernetes, but was discontinued, and that's why Tanka came into this place. And it also has integrations with Helm and with Customize. And the third tool here is Kept. It's also originated at Google. Its main focus is this idea of treating configuration as data. So it would be very much in line with this article by Brian Great. It provides you with a packaging solution, which is basically looks like fetching your configuration from some Git repository. And then the main functionality is like using functions that you can define, or you can use the ready-made functions there. And those functions are used to generate, transfer configuration, or to validate it. And you would pipe different functions together. So it already has integrations with Customize and Helm. And actually, you could also integrate it with whatever other tool via those functions. So if there is not one already there, you can prepare your own function to use, for example, JSONet with it. And another category, those tools are providing some different proposals for languages that we can use for defining configs. First is YTT. Its main idea is very similar to JSONet, so it would be data definition language, but in this case, it's YAML-based. It is YAML structure aware. It builds on top of YAML and it adds this DSL, so StarLark-based DSL language that would let you define some more complex structure in the YAML-based config. It also supports patch overlay approach to configuration, so also similar approach like in Customize. Then the other one here is Q. This is a quite new tool, also originated at Google. It's a data constraint language, heavily based on JSON, so it's also a superset of JSON. It lets you validate data, reduce boilerplate, and the functioning of it would be basically defining your data of the configuration in more and more concise way, and then leading to having the exact resulting config that you would like. So it's actually a very different approach compared to all other tools, but also seems something very powerful. And the last category here are the infrastructure as code tools. So the idea here is like if we've got tools for managing our cloud infrastructure, we can use the same for managing state in Kubernetes. The most popular of those is, of course, Terraform. It's using HashiCorp configuration language. So yet another DSL also based on JSON. It's a declarative approach, of course. And using Terraform, we can choose between a few providers. So there is a Kubernetes provider that gives us 34 core Kubernetes resource types. So it's limited only to what we have defined by the authors, and we can work with that. Then we've got Kubernetes Alpha provider, a new approach, not yet production ready, as they say, but it's much more flexible. So you can define any kind of Kubernetes resource with it, and it also supports custom resource definitions. And then there is also a Helm provider, so that will let you manage Helm charts and those releases of those charts. The next tool here is Plumi. So it's a new approach, does infrastructure as code similar to Terraform, but it's described as infrastructure as code SDK. So it lets you use some general purpose programming languages like maybe TypeScript or Python, languages that you already know, and there is a nice ecosystem of tools for working with those languages. Plumi, it supports also working with Helm or Customize, and also with just plain YAML. The SDK is compatible with the full Kubernetes API, and that also includes CRDs. And then CDK8, it's from AWS. So they have this cloud development kit for defining the cloud infrastructure with general purpose languages. And here we've got the same approach for defining Kubernetes resources. So quite similar to Plumi, it also supports integrations with Helm, or you can use plain YAML, and also covers the full Kubernetes API. So that was a very, very short description of the tools that I see most interesting. And I would like to highlight just a few patterns here. So as we could see, there are those three most popular approaches to config. And we've also seen that those other tools, they typically integrate with those. So quite often they let you use one of those. And actually Helm, as the most popular solution, it can be used with pretty much every other tool. And actually, there is a good reason for that. So basically in Kubernetes ecosystem, if you would like to use any kind of project targeting Kubernetes, most probably you will have configuration provided as a Helm chart. So I would say working with Kubernetes, you will not escape using some Helm. And one more thing here, what we do with the resulting configuration. Some tools let you just store this config in Git and then let the GitOps tools take it from there. Or there is the other approach to apply those config straight away to the cluster. And the last thing for today, there is this CNCF Tech Radar. So CNCF made this Tech Radar like a survey asking the end users community what tools do they use in CI/CD land space. So there is this adopt category, so users point to Flux and Helm as tools that are well established and really worth adopting. Then trial, something worth trying, and people see Customize as such. And then Assess, something maybe worth looking into. And there is JSONet and Argo CD in this category. If you are interested in detailed results, so there are detailed results from this survey, and actually based on that, we can gauge what is most popular among users of cloud native technologies. Okay, so here you've got a list of links to the materials I've used for this presentation. Those are linked in the slides. And that's it from me for today. Thank you very much for listening.